So I want to say welcome to everyone to Grace United Church of Christ. We're so glad that you can join us here on Zoom. And for those who are joining in other platforms, welcome to church. And no matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. And this is where we worship a God that is still speaking to us today in our lives. A couple announcements today. First off, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there and father figures in your lives. And we hope that today is a day where you feel that appreciation for all the things you have gone through with your kids. And so we just want to start off by saying happy Father's Day. And also that we ask that if you would like to stay on to the Zoom call after worship is ended, you are welcome to join in a little bit of fellowship. It doesn't have to end there, but you are invited to join in fellowship. So if there are no other announcements, let us begin with our call to worship.
Listen to Jesus say, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
All of our neighbors.
Listen to those crying out in your community.
All of the cries.
Proclaim the good news through acts of compassion and healing.
What if the good news upsets family, friends, or strangers?
Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it.
Let us worship the God of life, who renews and sustains us in our faithfulness.
Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it.
Thank you, Jack, for reading us the gospel this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Have you ever had to lovingly, and the key word is lovingly, tell someone you care about hard truths they did not want to hear? Maybe it was the way they have been treating you or others. Maybe it is how they took care of themselves, their lifestyle, or unhealthy habits. Perhaps you yourself have been confronted by someone you love with a painful truth you didn't want to face but needed to know. Love isn't always easy, and it may not always look like holding hands and singing kumbaya around a campfire. While love certainly brings people together, sometimes love is risky and requires us to confront others. And it's hard to break difficult news to the ones we love. We worry about how they will react to the truth of our concern. Will they be able to see that I deeply care about them, and that by confronting them, I believe that they can become better or even healthier for it? Will they listen to the truth and be open to receiving the help they need? As disciples of Jesus, we have been called to be God's love in the world. And in times of turmoil and chaos, not unlike what we are seeing in our world today, it may require us to lovingly confront one another and structures in our community that hurt the most vulnerable. Today we pick up where we left off last week in Matthew chapter 10, which is the fourth of five missionary discourses in the gospel, where Jesus unpacks the purpose and mission of his disciples. Last week Jesus looked upon a crowd of people, and this particular crowd of people were oppressed, cast aside, helpless, and harassed. He looked upon this crowd of people with compassion, a compassion that led Jesus to center his life and ministry, ensuring that the least of these had what they needed. Always working in community, Jesus summoned 12 disciples, telling them to see the world with compassion and to continue his ministry of healing throughout the region. They were instructed to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom to the ones crying out, and with God, establish a just world for all, a slogan the United Church of Christ loves to put on buttons and banners. As we read throughout the four Gospels, Jesus rarely enters a town where everyone is on board with this concept of a just world for all. He is met constantly and consistently with resistance. Just like with loved ones that we have in our lives, there can be tension in telling the truth. If you remember, Jesus' first public sermon was in his hometown, where his audience was composed of familiar faces from his childhood. Unrolling the scroll, he read from prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 2, which really sets the stage for his ministry. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus proclaims to his hometown that God has anointed him to free the oppressed, and he tells them that this is what God is up to in our community. Do you remember what happens next in the story? Suddenly, a rage overcomes the crowd, and Jesus is driven out of the synagogue and was about to be thrown off a large cliff when Scripture mysteriously says, "He passed through their midst and escaped." For one, I'm really glad my sermon last week went well, because I know there's a really big cliff here in Lancaster. Jesus knew that good news for the poor was not good news for everyone. Good news for the most vulnerable was threatening to those in power, to those who benefited off of the vulnerable. Jesus warns his disciples who have experienced persecution that even their closest friends and family may reject them. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and daughter against her mother." So maybe not the most appropriate Father's Day text, but what is Jesus getting at here? Prince of Peace? Really? Sure doesn't sound like it. Again, the context is everything. We must remember that Jesus is speaking to disciples who are growing weary that their ministry of healing and compassion is being met with abuse and slander. Jesus is not advocating for disunity's sake, but reminding the disciples that living the gospel is not easy work. Like telling a loved one a hard truth, the gospel's purpose is healing and wholeness, a just world for all. But when things get out of control, disciples are instructed to confront those around them. People may not like seeing it. In fact, expect people not to see what you see, maybe even those closest to you, a spouse or parent. Jesus is telling them that discipleship requires commitment and obedience to a hope that all will experience God's peace. These past couple weeks, the United States has been confronted with structures of racism that still plague Black, Brown, and Indigenous communities. For many people, especially in the white community, we have had to face hard truths that discrimination is alive and well in our country. Like the disciples who had to tell those in authority, the scribes, Pharisees, and government officials that their God doesn't stand by as marginalized continue to suffer, so too have demonstrators been voicing their truth that enough is enough. Did you know that while Black and white people use drugs at similar rates, the imprisonment rate of Black people for drug charges is almost 6 times that of white people? And even though Black people represent just 12.5% of illicit drug users, they make up nearly 30% of those arrested for drug offenses. Similarly, Black men receive sentences 19% longer than white men for the same crimes, according to the United States Sentencing Commission. Since the 1960s, Black communities have been the target of heavy policing in the name of this war on drugs. While drug selling and use is certainly an issue in our country, we have to ask ourselves why Black communities are targeted disproportionately. Why are Black people sentenced to longer jail time than white people who commit the same crime? Why are Black bodies assumed to be guilty or violent when white bodies are innocent until proven guilty? Just as Jesus went throughout Galilee saying poor lives matter or children's lives matter, both of which Jesus addresses, we may be called in this moment to courageously say that Black lives matter. This is the good news that needs to be proclaimed today, that God is proclaiming in the streets. As the disciples discovered, and as Jesus addresses, the good news is the truth, and the truth may bring us into tension with our neighbor and with our family members, but without it, sometimes we really can't begin to heal. And we desperately need to heal. At our baptism, and for some of us, reaffirmed when we were confirmed, we covenanted with God and one another to be faithful disciples to the gospel as revealed through the life and ministry of the Christ. No matter what happens, we promised to walk with God and live lives that allow creation to flourish and allow all people to enjoy life in its fullest. God made promises to each one of us at the precise moment we were created. God promised to walk with us in the calm and in the tension that life brings. This morning, Jesus reminds his disciples to not fear that tension. In fact, out of tension can come life more abundant than before. He reminds them that God cares deeply for them, even having concern for the individual hairs on their head. And it's true for us too. Know that in the tension we are all experiencing together, God's love for you has never wavered. More importantly, God is doing a new thing and calls you to join with God in making a just world for all. I wanted to end with this. It is a prayer written to memorialize Oscar Romero, who was the fourth Archbishop of San Salvador. Oscar Romero spoke out against poverty, social injustice, amid great tension and violence. Like Jesus, he was killed for his ministry that questioned the powerful who took advantage of the vulnerable. And this prayer is actually hanging up behind me in my office, and it's a constant reminder that in some moments, the work that we're called to do can feel really heavy, and that God calls us to do what we can with what we got. The prayer is called Prophets of a Future Not Our Own. It helps, now and then, to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that can be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives include everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there's a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future not our own. We aren't called to fix all the injustice in the world, but to do our part, to continue Christ's ministry, to keep learning, to keep pushing, to keep singing the good news of a just world for all. Amen. And now we will sing our next hymn, which is My Life Flows On in Endless Song. And as I get this up, I invite you to specifically look at verse 3, which was written during the McCarthyism in the United States, which is a time when the government was trying to root out suspected communists. And so this verse was added later to this song, to this hymn that we have in the New Century hymnal. So I invite you just to think about that verse as you're singing it, but also maybe to think about a verse you would add for today. Thank you. Amen. As we enter the moment of prayer, some people we want to lift up in prayer. We have a prayer concern for Pastor Mindy's father, Reverend Ralph, which many of you know and have built relationships with. He was moved to hospice care this week. So this morning, we will keep Mindy and Ralph and their entire family, and of course, all those that know and love Ralph in our prayers this morning. We also keep in prayer, some of you know Sandy, who works here in the office. Earlier this week, her father passed away. And so funeral services are planned at the end of this month, but we'll keep her in prayer. And I know she gives a lot of pastoral care. She's the first face you see coming to the church, and she's a wonderful woman. So I know we'll all reach out to her in support in this moment too. We have some joys today. Today is Joanne Randolph's 84th birthday. So happy birthday, Joanne. Wish we were closer to be able to clap or be able to express our joy. There we go. Jim's giving us some. So happy birthday, Joanne, today. We also give thanks for Father's Day. And we keep those fathers and father figures in our lives and our prayers this morning, knowing that they don't get thanked enough. I don't know if my father's watching, but I certainly know that's the case for me. So hopefully today we can show our appreciation to our fathers. There are no other prayers. Let us join together. Well, let me check the chats real quick. Oh, yeah, my father is there. Okay. He did put something in there. Happy Father's Day, Dad. No other prayer requests. Let us join our hearts together in prayer to God. Revealing God, like the 12 disciples, we are discouraged that the world is not a just place for all. We are discouraged that the simple message of love your neighbor is often rejected in word and deed by so many, including those closest to us. God, there are moments too when we find ourselves not living up to your call to care for others. In such moments, we thank you for lovingly confronting us, turning us back to your way, which is the truth and the life. Thank you for reminding us that in our struggles to live faithfully in this moment, you have concern for us, and you carry us when we need to be carried. You know us better than anyone and love us deeper than we can ever know. In this time of great division, may we proclaim truths about the world that may be hard for us to face, but they will allow for healing to take place. May the good news we share be good news for the poor and the outcast, and as a result, good news for us all. Gracious God, today we especially lift up in prayer fathers in our lives. Thank you for their guidance, their love, their support. Thank you for their presence and all the ways they have formed the people we are today. On this Father's Day, may we take pause and give thanks for them and their lives. Holy God, we lift up in prayer Reverend Ralph and Pastor Mindy and their family. We keep in prayer Sandy and her family. We give thanks for Joanne's birthday and for all those who are celebrating birthdays this day. We ask you too to be with those who are suffering needlessly, those who are in the hospitals due to coronavirus, and especially to those who feel the isolation of being home and social distancing. Holy God, in this moment of silence, we lift up all the joys and concerns that have been unspoken but are on our hearts. We pray all of this through the words Jesus taught us saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In this moment, we are turning to a reflection on giving. And really, I just want to say thank you to everyone who continues to give in these times and in these circumstances. We continue to get offerings in the mail. We have people signing up online to give to the church. And so a special thank you for those who do give. It is a tough time to do that. And you're able to give by sending your offering into the church by mail. Or you're also able to go to the link that is in your bulletin, and I believe will probably be put into the chat. Yep, Jim has done it. So you can go to that link as well, or you can go to the website and click Give. There's a little circle there that says Give, and it'll direct you to how you can give your offering in that way to help our ministry that is still thriving here, even in these bizarre times. So how shall we do God's work in the world this week? To do our part as disciples, as students, is to learn and think about how God is at work in this moment in the world. So one important thing we can do is just look at the world with those eyes of compassion and to stay connected to what is going on, especially with our neighbors and with our church family. That's one way we can do God's work. Also, to take that light that Jesus has passed to us to shine on those dark places, even if there's tension where we shine it, to shine it. And with that, we're going to join in our last song, our last hymn, which is This Little Light of Mine. In peace. We'll get there. So go in peace, open to the call and the grace of God, the blessing of God's unfailing love, Christ's unceasing presence, and the Spirit's unsurpassed gifts. Be with us now and in the future. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for worship today.
Everybody should be unmuted now, so.
There's like a meeting.
Well, Howard is apparently still muted.
Hey, he's still muted.
See his mouth moving, but.
Yeah.
On mute. Hey, here we go. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to everybody or father figures. Mm-hmm. Or soon to be fathers.
Yeah, I got a piece of a Father's Day big cookie yesterday. And it tasted much better than before. So I don't know what that's about, but my mom who's on here made it, so thank you, Mom. That was a pretty good cookie.
Good deal. Good deal.
How is Jennifer doing?
How is Jessica doing?
Oh, Jessica. I'm sorry, Jessica.
No, that's okay. That's okay. She's doing really well. You know, we have a month yet to go. The date is July 20th for the baby. So if you've been there before, you kind of know how that feels around that time. And she's doing very good. And she's on here. If she unmutes, I'm sure she can speak for herself.
Well, she should hold off till the 21st. That's my father's birthday. So.
Oh.
She can share a birthday with my father.
We'll be a month apart.
Hey, there I go. I can say hi now. I was trying to unmute, but you wouldn't let me. It said the host will not let you unmute. Now it did. So, hi.
Hi, Jessica.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Jessica, Joe even asked how you were doing, and I kind of just explained how you were doing, but I want you to be able to say something, too.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Just, we're getting anxious, getting excited, all those good things, and probably what, you know, being an expected parents would think during a pandemic.
Yeah.
Scary sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we got
our
any
nursery's
big...
all set up, and we're excited.
Excellent. Anyone got big plans for this afternoon or evening?
I'm going to try to keep cool since it's going to be hot and thunderstorms later.
I get to eat Father's Day cheesecake. Is that good?
Ooh.
Nice.
Sounds good.
Congratulations.
Nice. My wife's making me, my birthday was last week. And so Julie's making me a white Texas sheet cake today.
Ooh, yummy.
White Texas yummy. Sheet cake.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Happy belated birthday, Howard. I didn't know it was your birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, it was actually last Monday.
Okay.
But
happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you.
The unbirthday.
It's one of those that really doesn't mean much. You know, 53 is like nothing. You know, it's not 50. It's not 40. It's not 60. It's just, one of those. Another birthday. But while I was sitting out here, my package for my birthday gift arrived in the mail.
Ooh.
So only almost a week late. So my wife's like, you can go ahead and open it. And I'm like, I'm going to wait till I come back inside and church is over before I do that.
That'll work.
Yeah. The great thing about Zoom is you can do that and no one's really going to know. I mean, you just put that thing on mute and you can do worship and opening at the same time.
That's true. That's true. I could.
You don't offend the preacher. I'm blissfully ignorant.
True. true. Although last week I had the video camera just kind of on my tablet. I watched church in the front, as you can see, the garage in the background. But last week I just had the camera reversed just to show the dog sitting out in front. So it's like I could just have this for the whole hour. But he's been really good when I come out here for this. This is great.
We'll have to do a blessing of the animals sometime.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We used to do that each fall.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Okay.
So we'll have to incorporate that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although this little guy is not great with more than one or two other people.
Mm.
So I probably would not bring him to the pet blessing where he would encounter a whole bunch of other dogs and cats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people bring pictures just so we're safe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, have a good week.
Yep. All right. Have a good week, everybody.
Yeah. It was good to see everyone.
Yep. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
And I will go ahead and end this then.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Bye.
Bye. See ya.